And we'll read it in Greek, and then we'll talk about it. And some of these verses in the Gospel of Mark are long. There's only 16 chapters, so guess what? We're more than halfway through the Gospel of Mark. Kai hos on skandalise hina ton mikron. Tuton ton pishu usen. Cologne, Esten, Alto, Milan, A, Para, Cate, Milos, Oinikos, Periton, Trachilon, Autu, Kai, Beb, Blepe, Aestain, Thalasson. This is quite a deal. I used to quote this in the courtroom up there a lot. 1415 Truxton Avenue. I tried to save Dakota's life. I saw these sociopaths that were attorneys. Sociopaths. And I'd quote this verse to them quite readily. Because they're guilty of this. And whosoever scandalise. That's third person singular, first there is subjunctive active. See that word subjunctive there, Sharon? What does that mean?
Volition.
May. That's volition. Yeah. You can do this. You can do this. All right? Scandalizo. We got a word scandal in English from that word. What's scandal? You got scandal sheets out there, don't we? In the grocery store, scandal. She's all kinds of stuff's happening. This guy's leaving this guy. This woman left somebody for somebody else's husband. And this guy's a homosexual. And this woman's a lesbian. And all kinds of stuff. And whosoever he may scandalize, he may offend, may trip up. Mike, did you ever try to trap birds when you were a little boy? No, trap birds. Did you, Brother Roger? Any of you? Did you do that? Okay, you took a pasteboard box or a wooden box and you put out there and you put a little piece of wood in there and at the bottom of the piece of wood you tied a string and you got way over there and you put chicken feet or something underneath there and here came the birds. And you go like that. And it traps them. That's the word scandalizo. It actually means a trap stick. Like that. A trap stick. It means to trip them up. It means to catch them off guard. May scandalize hina, that's one. Ton mikron, of these little ones, of the ones little. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? Let's go back and read it. Verse number 40. Go back about verse number 40. 41. For I tell you absolutely, truly, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to and bear the name of Christ, by no means will fail to get his reward. And whosoever causes one of these little believers. Remember? He told them up there earlier, in verse number 35. And he sat down and called the 12 apostles and he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a little child and put him into the center of their group, and he wrapped his arms around him and said to them, whosoever in my name and my sake accepts and receives and welcomes one such little child also accepts and receives and welcomes me, and whosoever receives me receives not only me, but him who sent me. And then he tells them that those that you must believe like a little child. When Dakota was going to school, they wouldn't accept her in kindergarten unless I was there with her. So I went there. And I loved it. Those little children look at you, Mr. Phillips, Mr. Phillips, Mr. Phillips. And everything you said was a gospel truth and absolute. And they just looked upon you as you were some magic worker when you could show them how to write or any little thing like that. And I did that in the first grade and the second grade and the third grade and all the way through here for 8 years. Yeah. I loved it. But something happens about the fifth grade. Then they get ornery. And they think they know everything, and you don't know anything. But the little children, these little children, just toddlers, much more than toddlers, they accept everything you say, and they trust in you so much. That is such a joy to teach children like that. I knew a man out there, his name was Jim. And he taught kindergarten forever, 20 years. He said, I don't want to be anyplace else. He played the guitar and sang to the little kids. They lay down. They took a little nap in the daytime. They learned how to color. They learned how to write their name and things like that. He loved it. He loved it. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here. This is what he's talking about. These little children, these little believing children. And he said, unless you believe like a little child, you will no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Believe like a little child. How's a little child believe? Because they're innocent. They're innocent. Sharon said something here a while back that it just blew me away. I never thought of it. You remember what it was? Yeah. Of the elderly.
Yeah.
They go back. They go back once a child, once a man, twice a child. Once a woman, twice a child. When they get older, many times, they're as innocent as if they were little children again. Their minds become like that. Except not with the innocence of believing everything that is told to them. I remember when Marilyn and I got married, she was like a little child. She didn't know anything about the world. She thought everybody was honest out there, didn't you? And when somebody told her with authority, she said, well, that's what he said. I said, he's lying to you. Do not believe that. The woman on the coast was lying, and that old boy down there was lying with the investors, wasn't he? Lying through their teeth. Believed like a little child. And everything disappeared. Gone. Believing like a little child. They don't question, do they? They don't question anything. And then it says, verse number 42. Whoever causes one of these little believers, these are one of the ones, acknowledge and cleave to me. Acknowledge and cleave to me. What does that mean? That trust in me. One of these little ones, believing, pistioton, that's present participle, active, genitive, plural, masculine, of these little ones, believing little ones. They don't believe one day and don't believe the other day. They just believe, don't they? They just believe. These believing ones. Good, kalon. Now, that's not, what's the other word for good? Come on. What's the other word for good? Jaron, you know it. Agathos.
Oh,
agathos. This is kalos. This is good. This isn't spiritual good, but it's just good. Better. Okay, better. Or good. It would be gooder, better, it is, to him, rather, since. Now, this word is the first class conditional particle, okay? And this is third person singular present indicative middle voice. So it is better. Before he did this, it would be better if he committed suicide. That's what it says. It says, since it is better, he laid around the millstone around his neck of him and be thrown. He has been cast, third person singular, perfect indicative passive, and was cast, eistein thalasson, unto the sea, the depths of the sea. And boy, how many times I said that. Jesus said, before you hurt one of these little ones that you're responsible for, it would be better if you put a millstone around your neck, a great big millstone, a giant millstone, and have somebody throw you over the boat with a rope around your neck in the middle of the deepest sea. That's what it says. Do you think Jesus meant that? Did he mean it or not? Is this a true statement? Yes, it is. Let's go on 43 now. Kai on Gondolise. See, hey, care. See? Apo Copson. Altain. Cologne. Eston, see, Cologne. Ace Altain. Ace Tain, Zoain. Atos, Dio, Karas. Econte, Apa, Apeltain. Ace Tain, Yanan. Ace, to, pier, to, os, be stone. This is some hard stuff here. Now, there's some verses left out because they weren't in the original language. Somebody put in extra verses. We're just going to skip over them as we come along. And if. Now, look at this word if here. That's eon. Now, the spelling is different than the other one. It's epsilon iota before, but this one's epsilon alpha nu. But it's not the spelling that's the most important, is it? What rules the conditional particle, Sharon, remember? Brother Roger? What rules the conditional particle?
That it's
huh?
I don't know.
Okay. It is a mode of the verb that it's related to. And that verb is scandalise. So let's look at scandalise and see what it is. Third person singular, first aorist, subjunctive, active. Okay? So what rules this? What rules it?
Subjunctive.
Subjunctive does. That's a subjunctive mode. Now, if it was in the indicative mode, what would that mean? Indicative means what? The indicative mode. You remember that, Pamela? What's the indicative mode mean? Remember? All right. The indicative mode, Brother Roger. Brother Mike, the indicative mode is a statement of fact. You got it. A statement of fact. It's true. So this is not true, is it? It might be true, and it may not be true because of the subjunctive mode, the maybe mode. And so we translate this if, not since here. Third class conditional, undetermined, but with a definite prospect of determination. It could happen. And if he may scandalize or offend or cause to trip you, the hand, your hand causes you to trip. The hand of you, what's it say here? Apokopson. You chop off it. Pretty strong language, isn't it?
That under the law?
No, that's under Jesus' words.
Huh?
That's under Jesus. Who's sounding around out there listening to him?
Jews.
Yeah. They're out there, aren't they? They're out there. They've been listening. They're wanting to kill him, aren't they? They're absolutely wanting to kill Jesus. They're determining, they're plotting against him, aren't they? And he's telling them that you are sinners. And what are they going to do? What are their plans, Pamela? Their plans are to try to get somebody to commit perjury to witness against Jesus in the Sanhedrin court, aren't they? In the Sanhedrin court. So they're trying to do all these things. And he says to them, now, if you're going to do this, how much money did they give Judas Iscariot? 30 pieces of silver. And who handed it to him? Yeah. Who oversaw all this? The high priest. Yeah, Caiaphas and Annas. The Sanhedrin court. Will all of the Sanhedrin court in cahoots?
No.
We know Nicodemus wasn't. We know Joseph of Arimathea wasn't. There's two of them that weren't. But there were most of them that were. The vote carried, didn't it? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea went and begged for Jesus' body after he was dead. After he had been condemned. And they were part of all this configuration, weren't they? Well, Jesus, now, who is he comparing the little child to? This is what we call metaphors, allegories, parabolic teaching.
Young Christians, young believers.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean,
did Peter ever slip and fall?
New believers.
Did Peter? Yeah. Peter was a new believer.
Yeah.
Did Peter ever slip and fall?
Sure.
How about John Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Yeah. They did, didn't they? Whoever causes one of these little ones to slip and fall, to trip. Yeah, this was a young church. Their church was very young. And these people are going to try to destroy it. What did the Apostle Paul in his life decide to do? His whole occupation was murdering, wasn't it? He was a Sicarii, wasn't he? Judas Iscariot was a Sicarii. Simon, the Zealot. The word Zealot there means Sicarii. What's a Sicarii? The dagger men. These were murderers, assassins. And the whole Sanhedrin court were nothing but assassins. Even though the Sicarii were separate from that in so many ways. The Sicarii would go into a Jewish village and they even kidnapped one of the priests one time. And asked a ransom for him. You see all of this and that behavior was Muhammad's behavior later. Several hundred years later. Muhammad pulled this. He would go in and he would, of his own family, the Quraysh, he would go in and attack the caravans, the trading caravans, and take people and rape the women and killed a bunch of the men. And then ask for a ransom for them. A lot of money, ransom, if you want them back alive again. The Apostle Paul was a wolf. He said a ravenous wolf. And the Apostle Paul was struck down blind one day on the road to Damascus. And God changed his life. One thing about the Apostle Paul, when he learned the right way, he went the right way no matter what it cost him, didn't he? No matter what it cost him. He lost his wife. He lost his children. Lost the whole shooting match. And Apostle Paul really knew what all this was. According to history now, this is not what the Bible says, but this is historically. The Apostle Paul's wife divorced him. They buried him as if he was dead. His children would have no more to do with him. And instead of taking another wife or something, the Apostle Paul had himself made a eunuch. And he talks about that later on, doesn't it? So he'd have no desire for a woman because he wanted to do one thing, and that's concentrate on the kingdom of God. He did. He just gave it all up. So later on, the Apostle Paul is going to put his money where his mouth is. He's really going to recant his Jewish faith and his Phariseeism and his Zealot or his Sicarii group that he was with. And he's going to turn around no matter what it cost him. The hand of you, chop it off. Good it is. Maimed. That word, kilon there, kilon, that means a cracked and crooked and bent. Lame. Lame. Have you ever seen anybody lame? Lame. Sometimes I'm lame when my back's bad. Last night I was lame by the time I got here. Crippling around like this, walking crooked because I couldn't straighten up. Lame. Some people will have one hand chopped off or one hand with a stroke or something. That's lame. Good it is for you, maimed, cracked, bent, to enter into the life. Or the two hands having to go away unto the Gehenna. Gehenna. That Gehenna, that's an eternal flame, everlasting flame. Gehenna, it comes from the word Gehenon. Gehenon. Do you know what Gehenon means in Hebrew, Brother Roger? Gehenon?
Sheol.
Huh?
Sheol.
No, it's not. It's not Sheol. Sheol is a place of the departed spirits. Well, what about Gehenon?
Isn't that the garbage pit?
That was a garbage pit. Gehenon was a valley of the garbage. Gehenon was a valley of Hinnom. That's where they put the garbage. That's where they put the dead animals, and that they kept a fire going there all the time. But there was always maggots eating the bodies of the dead animals. Always maggots eating the body of the dead animals. Blowflies. No matter how much they burned it. Having to go away unto the Gehenna, into the fire. Look at the word. Gehenna. This is a place that is going to be in eternity. That's where people will go. Right now, people go to Sheol or Hades when they die. A lost person. Why, Judas Iscariot's there. Cain is there. Been there for a long time. And he's suffering all this time. Suffering. But then they're going to be taken out and resurrected out of there. And they're going to be put back in there with the asbestos bodies. Asbestos bodies. What does the word asbestos mean, Brother Mike? You know what asbestos is?
I know what it does. It won't burn.
They won't burn at all. You can hold a flame to it and it will not burn. They thought that was the most miracle
invention
of a product, of a material. They saw this. They said, wow, this is really great. We're going to make floors out of it. We're going to make ceilings out of it. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. We're going to make carpets with this asbestos in it. We're going to make linoleum with it, with tile in it. We're going to put this asbestos all over because it won't burn. It's going to retard, and it lasts for a long time. And they found out that it was poison. Didn't burn, but it was not good for you. Hellfire is not good for you either. Unto the Gehenna, Ace, Tain, Gehenon, Ace, Peter. Peter means fire. And then To, Asbestone. Look at that, asbestos, right there. The fire that's hot, but it will not burn you up. Your soul will not burn up. Your bodies will not burn up. They're going to be like asbestos. Asbestos. And the old wood-burning cook stove, I imagine in this stove right here, they used to fill the cracks with asbestos and like a concrete stuff. And in that stove, there probably is some of that. Yeah. Asbestos, it won't burn. That stove can get really hot. That oven has hit 500 degrees, kafoof, just like that. And that asbestos won't burn. And what it means, literally, is that the souls in hell will not burn up. They're like asbestos. And this is where they got the word asbestos from. Right here, that's where it came from. Greek language is the language of science and medicine. And that's a scientific term, that asbestos. Now, we've skipped number 44 because it wasn't in the original language. But let's go back and see what it actually said. They leave it completely out of this text too.
48 doesn't have.
No, four, yeah, it doesn't have. It doesn't have 44.
But it has 48 though, right?
Yeah, and 46 is not there.
And 48 is the same though.
Yes. So what they did was repeat things, and that wasn't really in the text. So let's look at 45 now. Okay, no, that one. 45. Kai. Yon ho pus. Su scandaliste si apokopton, kopson, apokopson, auton, kalon, esten, si ace elthane, ace tain, zoain kolon, a tus dio podas, erkanto, blathen a. Ace, Tain, Gehenon. Now 46 is not in the text either. because it's they're repeating things. And if the foot, of you, it may scandalize or offend you. How would your foot offend you?
Take you places where you're not supposed to be.
That's right. Take you places where you shouldn't be. Did the Apostle Paul, did his foot offend him? Did his hand offend him? Did his eyes offend him? When he looked at the Christians, he looked at them with blood in his eye. God blinded him for a moment, for a while. All right, if your foot of you, it's better that you be crippled laying on a pallet. Cut it off. It is good for you to enter into the life cracked and bent and crooked and lame, rather than the one's 2 feet, the 2 feet having to be cast into the Gehenna. This Gehenna was a hated place, by the way. It was a hated place. What do you think about old Cain right now? Do you think if he had another chance, do you think he'd go back and straighten up? How about Judas Iscariot? How about Herod? Herod the Great. How about Herod Juniors? All of those. Do you think they might listen? Paul, you have almost converted me. You've almost made a Christian. Do you think that he would go back and said, oh boy, if I only had another chance to be cast into the Gehenna? 9:45. And if your foot is a cause of stumbling and sin to you, cut it off. It is more profitable and wholesome for you to enter into life that is worthwhile, crippled, than having 2 feet to be cast into the eternal hellfire. Eternal hellfire. Feet taking you where you don't need to go. Your mind taking you where you don't need to go. Your hands doing things that you don't need to do. Verse number 47. Kai yon ho ophthalmos. Su or si scandalise. Si ekbale auton kalon si esten. Monophthalmon. Aselthane. Aestain basileon. Toothiu. A. Dia. Ophthalmos. Econte. Blathene. Ace Gehenna. And if your eye, it may cause you to stumble. Look at that word. There's the third class conditional also. What rules this conditional particle, Brother Roger? Scandalize. Yeah. Oh, scandalize. All right. What rules that conditional particle? The subjunctive mode. Because the subjunctive mode may or may not be. Am I telling the truth here? All right. The subjunctive mode is may be mode. Now, if you follow the Lord or not, that's in the subjunctive. If you believe or not, that's in the subjunctive mode. It's always left up to you. So we do have volition, don't we? We have volition. And that volition gets us in trouble sometimes. And so our volition, it went to the hand, to the foot, now it goes to the eyeballs. In a movie that Marilyn and I watched here a while back, it was called El Torino, or the Gran Torino. This bunch of gangsters, they looked at this old boy's car, this Grand Torino, and they wanted it. And they sent this young Asian boy, the Asian gang, in to steal that car. That was going to be his initiation, to steal this man's car. Well, the old boy caught him, went out there and ran him off, and almost shot him with a 30-06 M1 rifle. Later on, you know what happened? They became fast friends, best friends. And he found out that his family did not love him. They just wanted what he had. His wife was very religious, and he gave the house to the church. And that Grand Torino that boy tried to steal, he gave that boy to him, that Grand Torino to that boy. The boy got it. But he almost got killed in the meanwhile, but he made up for things. You know, he went out in the neighborhood and helped the old women and did everything else. And his family were honorable people, so they said, you've got to go work for him for so long. And he, what do you want me to do? Go over there and fix the house over next door. You know, I don't need you to fix nothing here. Because he was proud. Didn't need him. Then finally, he realized he needed him. He realized that he had more in common with those gooks, he called them. He called them jungle rats, things like that, than he did with his own family. His own family wasn't interested in loving him. They interested in what he had. And how much is that so often today?
Yeah.
And if the eye of you, it may scandalize you, pluck it out. Tear it out of its socket. For good, it is. One-eyed, it didn't tell you to take out both eyes, because figured out, I guess, when you pluck the one eye out, you'll learn your lesson, so the other one will be going the right direction. Okay? Monophthalmone. Ophthalmone, that is the word for eyes. Ophthalmologist. Optometrist and ophthalmologist, those are two Greek words. Monophthalmone, one-eyed. Into the kingdom of God, rather than two eyes having to be cast into the Gehenna, eternal garbage pit, file 13, forever and ever and ever. I remember reading a book one time about a guy by the name of Chiniqui, 50 years in the Church of Rome. What was one of the most unpardonable, hellish ideas that the Church Catholic ever invented in 1123 A.D.?
Purgatory.
Huh?
Purgatory.
No.
Celibacy.
Celibacy. One of their apostles of God, the popes, decided that's 1123 A.D. Just look up there. There it is. Celibacy right up there. They decided that the priest could not be married. They had to be celibate like some Buddhist monk or something. And from that time on, instead of being married priest, guess what? They started to molest the children. This is when the pedophiles began. This is when the priest began to take the women into confessionals, the children into confessionals, and do unmentionable things to them. In Germany, they demanded that the priests have concubines because they were raising too many of the priest's children. Their wives were being molested by the priest. And the priests, instead of having wives, were doing all these other things. And they had nuns, and the nuns were what? Celibate. So you get the celibate guys and celibate nuns, what do you got? You got a bunch of kids that are being born that they're throwing in the lime pits. Horrible, horrible, hellish ideas.
Was that idea just
save the church money so the church didn't have to support the priest's families? Or what was the...
That's what you call manipulation of the masses. Manipulation of the masses. It's all about. You know, the Catholic Church tells you how to have sex with your wife, doesn't it? And when not to. If your wife can no longer have children anymore, then you can't have sex with her. That's the whole story. Sex is only for procreation. That's why the Catholics have so many kids. And guess what? We have Muhammad that's rubbing off on him. The Catholics outpopulated everybody for a long time. And they had a lot of little Catholics. And how is the Muslim world overtaking people? Very few people, if they ever read the Quran, would ever be a Muslim, would they? You read the Quran, didn't you, Brother Roger? If you were a person and you read the Quran, would you become a Muslim? No. The best way to not become a Muslim is read the Quran and find out what's there. It's not a holy book, is it? It's a book of hate and crime. That's what it is. The Catholic Church was a church of hate and crime and murder. I preached this morning, God doesn't want to make you murderers. The Catholic Church made their constituent murderers. And the Muslim world makes their constituent murderers. Go out and find the kafirs, and wherever you find the kafirs, kill them. That's the infidels, until all of them will cease to resist and they will all become Muslims. Makes killers out of people. Murderers. Murderesses. Go out there. The only way you can go to heaven is to die killing somebody. Die in a struggle of war. The first drop of their blood, they get to go to heaven, and they have 72 virgins to wait on them and to please them. The next drop of their blood, they can be an intercessor for 70 of their own family or whoever they choose. In other words, you can get them into paradise too. That's what we call a dry well, a waterless spring. That's a lie. How many Muslims do you think have woke up in hell following the constituents of Muhammad? How many Catholics woke up in hell when they closed their eyes in death, realizing that had been sold a false bill of goods? Are you responsible for that? Are they responsible for that? Yes. You know who the most responsible person is? Joseph Smith. Every time a person is convinced into his doctrines of lies, more he's grinded in the jaws of hell. And Muhammad. And Charles Taze Russell. Do you ever remember? You know how much those people are going to suffer? How many of them have they scandalized? There are, 2 billion Muslims in the world today? And every one of them have been scandalized? Do you know that? They've all been caused to trip, haven't they? How many Catholics are there? How many Jehovah's Witnesses are there? How many Armstrongites are there? Charles, you know, that Herbert Armstrong. How many Buddhists? Buddha, if he even existed, ground into the jaws of hell. It's better if they didn't have any eyesight, wouldn't it? It's better if they didn't have any hands. It's better that they couldn't speak. It's better if they cut their tongue out than to do what they have done to the masses of humanity. Think about it. How about the Jewish high priest? How many people did they take to hell with them? He said, you go and cross land and sea to make one proselyte and make him 2 times the son of hell than you are. Because they multiply. They multiply and they multiply. Causing people to scandal, to trip up. What would be more vicious than to lead somebody away from God? Religion means the act of binding back again. And when you bind them away from God, and they are condemned forever in hellfire because of what you taught them, may we preach the gospel of the Word of God. May we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the grace of God, that people are saved by the grace of God. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that didn't come out of you. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the gospel. How many people have been scandalized by Catholicism in the last 1,700 years? Islam in the last 1,400 years. How many people have been condemned to death? This is to Muhammad. This is to all the line of popes. Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science. How many people have died believing in that? Charles Taze Russell, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He's just a Son of God. He's just one of those angels that came down and lived and give you a perfect example of how to live. Muhammad don't know what to do with Jesus at all. He may seem born of a virgin, but he didn't do anything. No remarkable deeds. He couldn't even teach people how to pray, according to Muhammad. Allah told him, not Jesus, but you teach these people how to pray, because you're the most perfect man that ever lived. Allah didn't tell Muhammad that. They all had dry wells, waterless wells, waterless springs, out in the desert, not too far from where I live up there, there was a well. Now, I told this story a long time ago, haven't told it for a while, but it's a true story. On a piece of canvas, there was indelibly printed, when you come to this well, this is a gallon of water. It will take exactly this gallon of water to prime this pump in this well. And if you will pour, take the plug out of the top and pour it down there, you can get all the cold water that you can pump, but be sure and leave a gallon, that water, the jug, filled completely up for the next traveler. And leave this note there so all can be refreshed with this living water. And when you come up there and you're really thirsty, you got animals and everything else, and everybody's thirsty, and you only got 1 gallon of water, but you want to take a little swig out of it before you, but you don't quite trust it. And if you don't use the whole thing, the oil won't pump prime. You got to put it all down, and you got to have faith that this person wrote this letter to you, and that he's really truthful. And when they come to this well, they pour that whole gallon of water down in there, and they pump this fresh living waters out of there. Pump and pump and pump and pump. Pump it, because it won't go dry. But be sure you leave the bottle full. Now, how many times Muhammad says, do this in the name of Allah, you die. He told his own troops out there, when they're losing the battle, go out there and fight the kafirs. Go out there and fight them. And if you die in glory, you'll instantly be in paradise. And you'll have 72 virgins to do your will from now on forever. And you can take 70 of your family to there with you. This is what Allah says. This is what Allah says. How many people did that? How many people today have done that? That bottle of water, if they put down that well, there won't be anything come out. There's no water of life in that story. They've been sold a bill of goods. A false well. Charles Taze Russell, I know Jehovah Witnesses, and that's an oxymoron. Jehovah is Jesus. Kahalogo starts again, and the Word fleshy became, and the Jehovah fleshy became and dwelt among us. We behold the glory of the only one begotten, full of grace and truth. That's who he was. He's Jehovah in the flesh. But when you take that away, you take away salvation, don't you? You take away all the salvation, and you scandalize, you trip up people to where they go to hell forever. Charles Taze Russell wrote a lot of little stories and Bible studies. So did Mary Baker Eddy with all her Christian Science. And Ellen White, and Herbert Armstrong. Herbert Armstrong said no one had preached the gospel for 1,800 years, and people followed that. One of my friends, Billy Bowles, was at a herald of that. And I went to him, and I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I took and did Greek and the Hebrew words and showed him who Jesus was, and you know what? He believed. He was snatched out of the gates of hell. Snatched away from the gates of hell. Snatched away with the flames of the gates of hell, the flames of the fires of hell still smoking off of him because he was going that way. Have you witnessed to somebody and have them come out of some of these cults? It's very hard to do that. How many of you have been called out of Catholicism? Sometimes out of Pentecostal. I tell you what, in a Pentecostal church, you know what they do? They preach all the gifts. And they're slaying in the Holy Spirit and all this stuff. And when it comes to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you won't hear much of that. All excitement. All of the flesh. If your hand scandalizes you, if your foot scandalizes you, if your idea scandalizes you, cut them off. Get rid of it. Walk away. What does it cost you when you walk away from Catholicism and the whole family has been Catholic for 300-400 years? The whole family. Jehovah's Witness. I remember that time I talked to that Jehovah's Witness up there at the Sizzler there on Mount Vernon. And that she was a scholar in language. So I wrote down Greek. I was writing Greek on the napkin there and just fiddling around this, my mother's friend. And I wrote down Greek, and then I wrote down the grammar, everything under the grammar, and I had her tell me what it said. And she did. In the beginning, in RK, in the beginning, singular, in the absolute beginning, kept on being the Word, all right, the Word, and the Word kept on being toward the God, and the Word kept on being God. And I had her translate that for me. And I said, now read it to me. And she read that. I said, is that correct? She said, yes. And then she just like turned white and her eyes got real wide. And she said, I don't believe that. My family have been Jehovah's Witnesses three generations. I don't believe that. That's not what I believe. I said, but what does it say? I don't want to believe it. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I said, you say you believe the Bible. What does the Bible say? I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. If your hand offends you, if your eye offends you, if your heart offends you, pluck it out. It's better to go into hellfire with no family or to go into heaven with no family. No occupation, as many of those, the Mennonites and the Amish did. We see them, that they're still existing all these years. They were the early Baptists. Had to go off and live alone. 9 and verse 48. Hupo ho skoles. Auton u teleta. Kai to pir u si beg te. Pas gar piri ali te sete. And where the worm, where the maggot of them, maggots that feeding on their bodies, not they die. Not each one of them comes to an end. And the fire, not it is quenched, extinguished, been able to put out. Now, by the way, that word si, ben, te, that word there, that's in all capitals. This is uppercase Greek. Because it's quoting from the Old Testament. And every the one, by fire he shall be salted. It means that everyone in hell shall be salted, seasoned with fire. Have you ever taken a piece of meat and put it on a grill and the flames, the fire smokes and gives it a flavor? They will be seasoned or salted or seasoned with fire. Everyone is going to touch the flames of fire. Now, people in hell won't all be in the same torment, will they? Willie? There are degrees in hell. But tell me now, who are going to be suffering the worst? Who are going to be suffering the worst in hell?
Those that knew the most on earth and turned it down.
And led others astray.
Led those people that offended the others. People that believed in them. Muhammad. Abu Bakr was his father-in-law. Of course, he was basically the same age, or younger than him. But Muhammad married his 7-year-old daughter. That's when he consummated. He married her at 5 years old, then consummated at 7 years old. And that man did anything for Muhammad. He would stand on his head and give his blood for him. Adopted son, Saeed. And they went out into one village and they conquered this village. And Saeed took a beautiful woman for his wife. And Muhammad went to his house one day. A verse came down. That's what he said. A verse came down. Am I telling the truth, Brother Roger? He went to his stepson's, adopted son's house one day. And here out he comes, this beautiful woman, scantily clothed. And boy, he's very tempted by her. So he leaves and didn't go in the house. And so his wife tells this boy that your father came here today, but he didn't come in. So he went to him and he said, "Why did you not come into my house, Lord, Master?" "Well, I was tempted by your wife." He said, "Well, you take her. Anything I have is yours. You take her. Go ahead and take her." "Oh, no, no, you keep your wife. No, you keep your wife." And then a verse came down. The verse came down that he said, "You shall not take your father's wife or your son's wife." And the verse came down and says, Allah has changed his mind. You cannot adopt children. And so you can take his wife. It's okay. Because he's not your son. And he broke that boy's heart. And that boy became a vicious killer after that. A vicious killer. He was one of the most vicious killers, and he died in combat. Defending the one that caused him to trip. Which one's going to be in a hotter place in hell? Syed or Muhammad? Muhammad. Abu Bakr or Muhammad? Charles Davis Russell or the average Jehovah's Witness? Joseph Smith are those Mormon bishops today and all those believers down below. Which one? It was better that he'd never read and write or believe or talk or any of these things. And because they've led all of these people to the flames of hell. Nine, where do we start? Nine what?
942.
49. Do you have any questions? Mary?
People, when they go to hell, the hellfire, they have a spirit, but the spirit doesn't burn.
First of all, they go to Hades, Sheol, and then are resurrected out with bodies that are asbestos, basically, and then are thrown into hellfire forever, but they're only thrown into hellfire to suffer a what? Damage they have done to God and His Word and everything. Okay, now somebody that really tried to believe, if the average Mormon goes out that's very trusting in Joseph Smith and His Word, the prophet, you know, and he tries to live the best life he can live, and he lives a spotlessly moral life, but he believes this, which one's going to suffer more, Joseph Smith or him? Joseph Smith, because he has condemned millions to the eternal flames of fire. He's called them to, he's offended them. He's sent them to hell. Sharon, did you have a question? How about it, Pamela?
What happens to those that was never taught the Bible? What happens to them?
People are judged by what light they have. But without Jesus Christ, we don't get to go to heaven. That's the only way. The only intercessor. Now, Muhammad, every time a Muslim speaks his name, they say, peace be upon him. Now, the word peace be upon him, but that's not what it really says. What it really says is, may Allah praise him. May Allah pray to him. And you see all of this. Muhammad made himself out to be Jesus Christ, basically. He took all his attributes and all of his powers, basically. Now, if you don't believe that Muhammad did miracles, just read the life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. He did some miracles, supposedly, according to that first-hand eyewitnesses that were there. Now, can the devil do miracles?
Yep.
Go to the 10 plagues of Egypt and just watch him do them. He did them. He can do that. All right. You have any other questions? Brother Mike, you got any questions?
Why does it say that their worm dieth not instead of where the worm dieth not?
Their worm, because the worms are living off of their body. That actually, it means worm there is replacement of soul. Their soul does not die. The bodies that are in the garbage pits, the worms don't die. And the Lord uses that parabolic teaching to say that as the garbage pit, in the eternal flames, they always had fires in it, but the maggots still were there and the flies were still there. Okay? And so the eternal hell, the soul of a man will not die. The soul will not die. The body will not burn up. It'll be asbestos. That's pretty hard.
They will feel the sensations
of burning all that time.
Yeah.
And there is no end to it. Why, Muhammad today is not a Muslim. Did you know that? He believes in Christ today. Whether he would go back and undo what he did, will the devil ever do it? Will the devil ever repent? No. Not in 1,000 years in the flames of fire. If he was penally thrown into the flames of fire, he would not repent in 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years. He would not repent. They won't turn. How many children has Satan ever had? Is he is every one of these false leaders one of his children? Well, and spiritually they are. We know that. Children of Satan. Because they've made others children of Satan. They have caused them to stumble. Do you understand those verses better than ever? It's talking about as much physical things as it is spiritual things. Causing people to stumble.
Well, you have to get the right teacher.
What? Teachers are teachers. Just teachers.
There's a lot of people.
You have to let the Bible interpret itself.
Yeah. There's people that have their intentions. They're good people.
Yes.
But they're going to the wrong place.
They're going to the wrong. They've been fed a false sense of peace. The jug of water was poison. And the well they drew was poison. Forever poison. That's the wrong well. The wrong certificate. That water gives you death, not eternal life. Anything else? All right, let's go out and do something eternal. And Mary Lynn, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the time we spent learning your word. And I'm trying to understand everything that you have written by the inspired word, by others, Paul and Mark and